It's after 9:30. Okay, so this is Cherry Lane Genoway calling to order the April 26th, 2022 meeting of the Orange County Senior Citizens Advisory Council Executive Board. This meeting is being recorded, and Cynthia Thacker will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
On June 20th, 1782, our national flag was designed. This design was based on values and beliefs as expressed in the Declaration of Independence and subsequently confirmed in the Constitution. The origin of our flag, national flag, is unique. When we pledge the allegiance to our flag, we're not pledging allegiance to any government. We are pledging allegiance to each other that we will uphold and defend the God-given rights and values of which our country was founded. So let's begin by putting your hand over your heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Excuse me.
Hey, thank you, Cynthia. That was very nice. I loved your introduction to that. Very appropriate. Elizabeth, could you please take roll?
All right. Elizabeth Busick, present. Elaine Genoway?
Present.
Jean Hernandez?
Present.
John Pointer?
Present.
Dave Tetzloff?
Present.
Cynthia Thacker?
Present.
Meredith Cellini?
Present.
Everybody's here. We have a quorum.
Okay, thank you, Elizabeth. And visiting us today is Evelyn Velez, the chair of the Senior Citizens Engagement Standing Committee. And then also assisting us in the meeting is the Office on Aging staff, the director, Erica Danzak, and Desiree Gonzalez. So thank you all for being here. We are on to agenda item number four, public comment. At this time, members of the public may address the board regarding any item within the subject jurisdiction, provided that no action is taken on off agenda items unless authorized by law. Desiree, are there any requests to speak?
We did not receive any requests to speak in advance, and there are no members of the public present this morning.
Okay, thank you. So public comments are now closed. And we are on to action item on agenda item five, action item for AB 361, review and make findings required by government code subsection 54953E3. Is there a motion to recommend that we continue virtual meetings due to the proclaimed state of the emergency arising from COVID-19? Meeting in person presents imminent risks to the health and safety attendees, and the emergency continues to directly impact the ability of the members to meet safely in person.
I so move.
A move by Elizabeth. Is there a second?
I'll second, Jean Hernandez.
Seconded by Jean Hernandez. And Desiree will take a roll call vote.
Elizabeth Busick?
Aye.
Elaine Genoway?
Aye.
Jean Hernandez?
Aye.
John Pointer?
Aye.
Dave Tetzloff?
Aye.
Cynthia Thacker?
Aye.
Meredith Cellini. Aye. Meredith, I think you're muted.
Aye.
Thank you. And that is majority chair.
Okay, thank you, Desiree. So the motion passes. And we are on to item number six, Office on Aging updates. Erica, take it away.
Thank you, Elaine. Hi, everyone. Good morning. Quite a few updates going on at the Office on Aging. This is definitely our busy time, as if we weren't busy already. So if there's any questions, I'll be happy to answer at the end, but I'm going to go through these pretty quickly. Regarding our staffing situation at the Office on Aging, I think I've briefed STAC before that we were approved for 6 additional new positions. That includes 3 new manager positions and 3 staff specialist positions. Our HR department has been inundated with recruitment requests, so we are in the queue to run an aging recruitment for the manager positions in order to help us in the short term, we've offered a temporary promotion to one of our internal staff, Farrell Lawless. So she's been promoted from staff specialist into one of our management vacancies, but that still leaves two manager vacancies that we'll need to run a recruitment for. The other staff specialist vacancies, three in total, we were able to interview off a certified hiring list for those that met the qualifications, and two people were selected off of that list, and HR is preparing those job offers this week. So we will still have to run a recruitment for our third staff specialist vacancy, but I'll keep you posted. We definitely need the help, but we're building our bench, and we want to make sure that we attract the right talent, because I'm very interested in the long game. I want people that really want to work in this field and really want to be committed to our office for the long term. There's a couple of programs that are winding down, a couple of emergency or ARPA funded programs. Number one would be the senior technology program, Bridging the Digital Divide for the iPads. So our staff is working to contact all of those people that are eligible, and a slot has been reserved for them, but we just need to collect their completed paperwork and documents and set up a time for them to either pick up their device or have it delivered directly. It's just, it's hard making that contact after the initial screening, but after about three attempts, we delete that person off the list and move on to the next one, because we have several seniors that are on our waiting list. But we are projected to wrap up that project by the end of June. Keeping in mind that the data plan was authorized for 12 months starting last September, so seniors will continue to benefit from the data plan through the end of September. We are aware of some state grant funding for technology. It looks like there's going to be some funding coming to Orange County, formula funding. We don't have to apply for the grant. It's just being allocated to us for senior technology efforts. It's actually flowing from the California Department of Aging to our Social Services Department, which is a little different because it usually comes to the Office on Aging. So we're going to be meeting with Social Services this week to talk about what the best use of that funding is. And one of the things that I would like to recommend that the county considers is extending that data plan for our existing clients. And if SCAC supports that, I can definitely float that idea. It's about $3 million in the allocation, and we're spending about $60,000 a month for the data plan through Verizon. So if we multiply that out for an additional 12 months, there's still plenty of funding left over to pursue, you know, other ideas with that particular grant. The other things that are winding down are some of the nutrition gap programs that the board approved with ARPA funding. If you'll remember, there was a first round of nutrition gap funding that the board authorized through CARES Act, and then the second round was through ARPA. Most of those programs are coming to a close by the end of the fiscal year, June 30. So we're trying to work with the providers to create a soft landing and glide down approach, because for those seniors that are truly food insecure, they most likely will qualify for our regular elderly nutrition program. And so we're working to get them screened by AgeWell and Meals on Wheels to see if they would qualify for regular home delivered meals, or at least be able to go to the senior center and do the grab and go meals. So I'll keep you posted on that. We are hearing that with the second tranche of ARPA funds coming from the county, that the Board of Supervisors may have an opportunity to look at extending some nutrition gap programs, but nothing is certain right now, and I'll keep you posted on that. The other program that is seeing a lot of pressure right now is our senior non-emergency medical transportation program, and that's because of the gas prices. So the cost of providing trips for the transportation program has just skyrocketed like overnight. And not only is the cost of providing the trips expensive because of the gas prices, but more and more seniors are wanting to utilize that program because it's too much of a hardship for them to drive their own cars, right, with the gas prices. So it's kind of being attacked on both fronts. And so luckily, we're able to provide some increases to our providers. We're actually going to go to the board on May 10th to increase the Abrazar contract about $300,000 because that's what's needed for them to finish out this fiscal year and not have to deny anybody trips. We do have some unspent funds in our Measure M2 account from prior years of underspending. So luckily the money is there to be able to support this increase. AgeWell thinks that they can get by with the funding because we did authorize an increase for them a couple of months ago of about $200,000. So they seem to be okay, but Abrazar is a different demographic. They serve two service areas, Central and North County. And of course the poverty rates are a little bit more in that area of the county. So we're seeing the pressure there. I'll keep you posted. It's something we're going to monitor, but starting July 1st, they'll get a fresh batch of funding. And so they'll be able to really take a look at their budget and let us know where they're at. Couple of things on the master plan for aging. I did a presentation at the Meeting of the Minds conference last week on the master plan for aging, very similar to what I did in Irvine several months back, but just orienting mental health providers and clinicians on what the master plan is, what the five bold goals are, and you know, touching on mental health specifically, not a whole lot being addressed in the master plan for mental health. So it was nice to hear that feedback because those are some of the conversations that we can have with the state when we're talking about how our stakeholder meetings are going, making sure that we still can continue to keep mental health, older adult mental health at the forefront. And then the other thing regarding the master plan is that the county has concluded their RFP to do a needs assessment countywide. They have identified a contractor and they'll be going into negotiations with that vendor in the next couple of weeks. I will be participating in those negotiation meetings because we want to make sure that the expectations are clear and that the vendor that is selected understands, you know, that this is really an effort that's being driven by the county. And, you know, the deliverables that they outlined in their proposal is sort of the Cadillac version. And we were asking for a really nice Camry. So there's some negotiations that have to take place before we land on a contract.
Erica, but that is so funny that you say that because when I was participating in that group, I had a car analogy too. I said, we got a choice between a bicycle and a Porsche. Yeah. None of us wanted the bicycle. It wasn't going to get there on time.
No, I think if we get a really nice Camry, we'll have a good product.
I'm with you.
Yeah. So we'll keep you posted on how that goes. But if we're able to negotiate and get a contract in place, it'll go to the Board of Supervisors probably sometime in June, maybe early July. Let's see. I had so many notes of things I wanted to tell you. I think that's it. Yes. I think
Erica, you were going to discuss APS and World Elder Awareness Day.
Oh, thank you for the reminder. Yes, there have been some questions coming to both the Office on Aging and to SCAC. I know in the Standing Committee is talking about what's going on for World Elder Abuse Awareness Day. And there is an event, there's a flyer being shared around via email. And really, just to clarify, that effort is being led by the Social Services Department in the county. It has been through their elder abuse prevention stakeholder groups. And the Office on Aging plays a support role. SCAC plays a support role. We can help with outreach. We can help with promotion. We can certainly participate. But it is really up to the Social Services Agency to handle the logistics and take the lead role in anything related to World Elder Abuse Awareness Day, as far as the county goes.
Okay, and have they requested any type of proclamation from the Board of Supervisors?
Yes, so they will be going to World Elder Abuse Awareness Day is in June, so it'll be the first Tuesday board meeting in June that they're going to be doing that proclamation. And usually someone from the Forensic Center and the Social Services Agency accept the proclamation on behalf of the county at the board meeting.
Okay, thank you. I have a question on your report regarding SCAC providing support for continued funding of the data plan for our current users of the iPads. How would you like us to provide that support? In what format? Just a consensus of the executive board, or do we need to make an action item on a future agenda?
I don't think it's a specific action item right now because it's just a brainstorming meeting that's going to take place this week. So just, you know, in concept, if I could, you know, get your support in this meeting informally, then I know that I can bring forward that idea. If that idea, if they like that idea and they think that that's a good use of this grant funding, then I would definitely bring that back to SCAC and ask for a formal action item.
Okay, great. Yeah, and it makes complete sense for us to support that because the free iPads that we got put in the hands of seniors, we want to make sure they can continue using them. It keeps that that deliverable usable. And another question is on the nutrition gap funding. Is there anything, I know a lot of the ARPA funding, I mean, that was related to the pandemic, but is there any bucket of money on funding related specifically to this this horrendous inflation that we're all experiencing, but especially those on the fixed income? Is there any way, any specific funding to address that to make sure that the nutritional needs of seniors are being met?
Not specifically tied to inflation. There are some increases to senior nutrition services at the state level. And so when we receive our final allocation for next year's funding, we expect to see some increases there. And hopefully, you know, seniors that are participating in some of these nutrition gap programs, it won't be a capacity issue to move them over to our regular elderly nutrition programs. But the demand is there. I was out at the Brea Senior Center last week and they were doing a food distribution and it was just a revolving door. I mean, seniors were lined up out the parking lot because they're really feeling the pressure if they have to decide between their medication and food. You know, it's a real hardship. So COVID was the reason that brought them in the door, but the inflation and the food prices and the gas prices are the reason why they're staying. And we don't know that there's any specific funding to address that. And certainly anything ARPA related needs to be tied to COVID-19. So we have to be able to make that case.
Okay, thank you. Meredith.
Well, I saw something from CDA that said that anyone in California that's an older adult can access Get Set Up through their local library. And I was wondering how that might work with the funding that the Office on Aging is spending, or if there's a way to streamline that.
We were made aware of that same partnership. So our intention is to not renew the subscription for Orange County, but yet promote the state's partnership. So that's why I'm saying that any continued funding, I think, should go toward the data plan and not necessarily the Get Set Up subscription. Mm-hmm. So
it's available.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Cynthia.
This relates to your question, Elaine, to Erica about how we can support for the iPad and the get set what up. Anyway, we're going to do hopefully we're going to be doing a liaison questionnaire. And so I just wanted to make mention that probably will give us some data for you, Erica.
That would be great. Has that been finalized yet or any sample question? Okay.
And Elaine White, I'll read the questions so we can vote on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we worked on finalizing the wording of the questions, and then later on in the agenda, we'll go ahead and approve that.
So hopefully we can get information back to you relatively soon.
Excellent. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions or comments for Erica? Okay. Thank you, Erica. That was a lot. I'm always amazed at how much office is doing. And you're all doing it so well. So please thank your team for us too.
Absolutely. Will do. Thank you.
Okay. Under chair report membership status, Nelida Mendoza has resigned from SCAC. So we do have city selection committee was notified. So if you're a mayor in your city, you received an updated notification from city selection committee with that additional vacancy. So there are two vacancies that should be filled at the May City Selection Committee. So if you know anyone in the first or second supervisorial districts, please urge them to apply through the City Selection Committee so we can get those seats filled. Because if they're not filled at the May meeting, it goes until the next meeting, which will be at the end of the year. So, and we do have some vacancies in some other positions too. So again, you know, keep your ears and, you know, eyes out for any potential members, and I'll be happy to speak with them. World Elder Abuse Awareness Day. So that is some, as Erica mentioned, that the lead on that is through Adult Protective Services, because it falls within under the umbrella of elder abuse. So they are making the request to the Board of Supervisors. But we can certainly assist with the outreach. And one way we would do that is to provide information to the senior center liaisons. And then Cynthia would push that out to the liaisons and ask them to contact the senior centers. So is there a motion to approve the distribution of information to senior centers about World Elder Abuse Awareness
I'll
Day?
I'll make the motion.
Moved by Cynthia. Is there a second?
I'll second Jean Hernandez.
Thank you, Jean. Any discussion? Do you need a roll call on this, Desiree?
Yes, please. Okay. Elizabeth Busick?
Yes.
Elaine Genoway?
Aye.
Jean Hernandez?
Aye.
John Pointer?
Aye.
Dave Tetzlaff?
Aye.
Cynthia Thacker?
Yes.
Meredith Shalemi?
Aye.
And that is majority chair.
Okay, thank you. So Cynthia, if you could coordinate with Elizabeth, who had requested this be on the agenda, and Evelyn to get the exact, maybe Erica can send it to you from APS, the information that needs to be sent out, and that could go out beginning of June or end of May after we finish our questionnaire. That'll be another reason for the liaisons to reach out. Okay, on old business, the meeting location status, again, we're kind of in limbo and not knowing whether or not our general meetings will be going back to person after our June hiatus. So Meredith, I know this is challenging for you because you don't know whether or not to tell the speakers if it's going to be in person or virtual, and we actually need a meeting site. So do we have a potential meeting site set up for July? Okay, so that's something we may want to look at.
I think that where we left off, Elaine, was that you and Eric and I were going to have a quick connection.
Yeah,
so we'll
need to do that. I do know we do already have the November meeting site, but we need July, August, September, October. So, and again,
and I was just on a meeting yesterday with a public health official, a public policy person that is a doctor, and they're expecting a surge in the fall.
Well, and I'm already seeing around here people that I know active in the community are getting COVID now for the second or third time.
Right.
They're already, and they are vaccinated and boosted.
Exactly.
So, so again, we just need to be flexible and be able to pivot. But we do need to, you know, the thing for the general meetings is having that site that can accommodate us. So, and then also just when we do go back to meeting in person, Meredith, you'll also need to schedule the greeters. And in addition to the leading the pledge and the inspiration, and I would suggest you schedule members who live close to that senior center if we're meeting in person, because sometimes there's traffic delays. So you don't want someone who needs to be there earlier at the beginning of the meeting to be caught in traffic. So, and then May 10th, Tuesday, May 10th is the Board of Supervisors meeting. That's where we will be presenting our top priorities for seniors in Orange County. And the Board of Supervisors will also be recognizing May as Older Americans Month. So we'd like to get as many SCAC members there as possible. This will be just before the meeting actually starts, is when they do the presentations. So Erica, if as we get a little bit closer to that, if your office could send out to all the SCAC members the location and also parking information, because that can be a challenge for someone who's not used to going to the Board of Supervisors meeting, you know, exactly where to park. And then, so if you could provide, your office could provide that information, because we would like to get as many SCAC members there to be in front of the Board of Supervisors so they see who we are. And that's what, when people see who you are, then they realize that this is a voice for Orange County and they listen a little more closely. Okay. Any questions on the Board of Supervisors meeting?
I have a couple of details that I'd like to share. Go ahead, okay, Dave, Erica, and then I'll share after.
Well, I'm done. So Erica, if you want to go ahead.
So I've been in working with Supervisor Chafee's office as the chairman. They're the ones that coordinate the presentations. And I understand that they have moved all presentations to the first board meeting of the month. It's particularly important for May because all the departments go to the board on the 24th for our contract renewals. So that means that we've got six presentations on the agenda for May 10th. One of the other big items besides SCAC's presentation is there's going to be a resolution for a post 9/11 welcome home event. There's going to be quite a few Afghan refugees and veterans that are attending the Board of Supervisors meeting that morning as well. So seating will be limited. And so I don't know if we want to be strategic about how many SCAC members we invite, or if we just want to put it out there to everyone knowing that a percentage of SCAC won't come to the meeting. But I just wanted you to be aware of the other dynamics going on that morning. The other thing is that Supervisor Chafee will present the proclamation. Elaine will be called up to accept it on behalf of SCAC. The other Board of Supervisors would also like to make a few comments that they address to SCAC. And then afterwards, Elaine will be invited up to the podium to make her comments and go over the report, you know, high level, because it'll just be a couple of minute time slot. But knowing that in advance of the meeting, the Board of Supervisors will have the cover letter and the report in their binders, so they can reference it. And if they have any questions, they can follow up after the meeting.
When you say there's limited seating, is that just because of the numbers that are expected, or are they saying we need to limit the SCAC presence to a certain number?
They didn't give me a certain number, but they definitely wanted me to be aware that it was going to be a crowded morning. And I believe that because of COVID, the public hasn't been invited to come and sit in the main board meeting room. They're actually in the board commission room behind a glass window. So I imagine that most guests are going to be directed to sit in that area as sort of an overflow, and just those that are speaking or receiving the proclamations are going to be in the actual board hearing room.
Could we make
didn't they have social distancing too? Didn't they space you So that's why it cuts it down, Elaine. Mm-hmm. The number that normally would be, fit, they're way down.
Yeah, but can we request that the at least the SCAC board be there in the main meeting room? And then at what time do they open the meeting room that people can actually go in? How far in advance of the start of the meeting? If we were to say, let's get there early.
Yeah, I would suggest because of parking and just the crowd to get there by 9 o'clock. The presentations will start promptly at 9:30.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And if this can all be all the details finalized and then sent in an email to SCAC. I mean, it's about 2 weeks, 3 weeks away. And, you know, as we've seen, things can change between now and then. So, but everyone have that on your calendar.
What's that date again, Elaine? Just to be safe.
Tuesday, May 10th.
Thank you.
Okay, any questions for me on what I've said? Okay, all right, so now we'll go to standing committee update. Gene?
Well, let's hear from what they're all been meeting and doing their thing. Evelyn, you wanna touch on your committee? Yo, Evelyn.
I didn't really plan on talking about anything. I just wanted to know.
Oh, you might talk on the meeting, the presenter you just had.
Oh yes, okay. Well, we had a presenter from the sheriff's office who talked about the abuse in internet and all kinds of cyber crimes and fraud. So that was very interesting. We also talked about what actions we could take on the World Senior Abuse. Elaine was kind of like giving instructions for who was to do what. So if there's anything that I was supposed to follow up with, Elaine, please let me know.
To follow up, if you could send what information that is going to be distributed to the senior centers, if you could send that to Cynthia Thacker, so she can review it and kind of put it together for the liaisons.
Okay.
Because SCAC's role will be just in creating awareness through the senior centers.
All right. So we can like prepare a flyer or.
Well, I think the flyer, I believe APS has prepared a flyer. We should be consistent in what's used throughout the county. So if you have anything on it, send it to Cynthia, and then Cynthia will coordinate with Erica's office, because it's social services that takes the lead on this. So we don't want to create our own flyer. We need to use their flyer.
Excellent. So. All right. Thank you.
It was kind of interesting. They had actually two presenters from the Sheriff's Department. One did do fraud. The other one did physical abuse, and so it was interesting to see what's going on there, and there's a lot going on, so it's well done. Meredith, I don't see your counterpart. Do you want to touch a little bit on your committee?
I wasn't there last time. I was absent.
Oh, you know what? You were. I'm sorry. Well, there was nothing new there. They did have a presenter, and the same with housing and transportation. I don't see Sandy here. Again, they're following through with their mission. They're talking a lot of good ideas percolating up, and they're looking forward to sharing all this stuff at our, was it January, February, April? No,
you're probably February. February. So now's when they're doing the work and getting the information as to what.
And they've been doing that. They've been going through their list, their goals. Good. They've been doing exactly that. Sometimes you get a little carried away and you want to add more goals and go, no, let's keep it here. Let's not get too aggressive. Cynthia knows what I'm talking about.
They're cute.
Okay, that's it for us, I think. We're all on task.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jean. Meredith, presentation schedule.
Hello, everyone. So the presentation schedule is pretty well formed. I sent a revised schedule yesterday to a few folks. I need to schedule some more presenters for the inspiration for the end of the year. So I'll be reaching out to some SCAC members to do that. And I also need to ask the Caregiver Resource Center about being our speaker in November, as well as Alzheimer's Orange County. So I'll plan on doing that in the next week. And then I think our schedule in terms of speakers and pledge and inspiration is going to be completed for 2022, which is nice. And then I need to meet with Elaine and Erica so that we can figure out the planning for possible senior centers and greeters. And if anyone wants to volunteer to help me with that greeter portion, maybe I'll ask around. It would be nice to have a little extra help. There's a lot of emails floating around now with all these different pieces of the presentation schedule. But I feel like we're in good shape. And to Erica's point, mental health is very, very important. Needs to be part of our playbook here in Orange County. So our speaker coming out next month is going to be speaking about programs and services from the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. They have a special presentation also that they're going to recommend that we schedule at the Senior Center. So Cynthia, that may be something that we want to promote to the liaisons. They have a program called Talk Saves Lives for Seniors. It takes about an hour, so it wasn't appropriate for our session, but we've heard it at Wellbeing Reimagined before. It was very powerful. The volunteers that give this particular talk have family members who have died by suicide, so they have that really personal connection to the subject. And it's really talking about how it's okay to talk about it. It's okay to talk about mental health. It's okay not to be okay, and how we can come together as a community in order to make this a topic that we're more comfortable with so that fewer people take their own lives.
Great. Thank you. Those are important conversations to have. So, okay. So if anyone, you know, if anyone here wants to assist Meredith with scheduling the greeters and the pledge and the inspiration, or maybe there's someone in one of your standing committees that is very enthusiastic and would have the time and be able to do that, because Meredith has a pretty heavy lift with not only scheduling our presentations, but also now scheduling the senior centers. And the other portion of it is just a matter of phone calls or emails and following up on it. So that portion is relatively easy. It's just time consuming. So if there's someone who you think, on SCAC who would be able to assist with that, please reach out and let Meredith know. Hey, Cynthia, you're up. Senior center liaisons.
You know, when I first took over this, I thought, thanks Meredith, and I agree. All of a sudden, everybody's saying, let's talk to our senior centers about something. So I think that's really important, and it's been contagious. So I'm kind of really excited about all this. So thank you, Elaine, for fixing a little bit of more at the question. So I'm going to read it now. This is what we would like to approve. The liaisons to be asking the senior center directors. I'll begin. Last year, STAC, one of the things is probably we might want to say it all together, but I'll just say STAC right now because we understand. Request funding from the Board of Supervisors for free iPads for seniors, which were distributed by the Office on Aging. These iPads included training and connectivity. How is that information pushed out into your community so that the seniors became aware of the availability? So that would be one of the questions. And then SAC also requested and received funding for free online classes for seniors with Get Set Up. How was that information pushed out into your community so the seniors became aware of the availability of these free online classes? Do you continue to share? So that's one part of the question. And then do you continue to share information about this free Get Up class with your senior community? And because of Erica's report, I thought maybe we should put the end date of September in there. Just a thought.
But first of all, there was another question that you have one more line on.
I'm sorry. Have you received any feedback about these classes? And if so, what? I'm sorry.
But as far as the end date, it seems like this program is going to roll into the one with the library. So I don't know that we want to say that there's an end date.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. I don't know. Any thoughts? Okay.
We may want to say that the program's transitioning to the library, so I don't know if they need to go to a different link in order to access the free cap classes.
Yeah, well, I don't know, or if their account is already set up. Erica, can you get that information for us, whether or not they're going to need to re-enroll through the library when their subscription through here ends? And that may be a separate outreach, because we don't want to make this too complicated, and we've got a few months before that happens.
Yeah, I agree. If new people
need to go through the library, I guess, versus continuing people.
Yeah.
Correct. I think that we do need to market that separately so that there's no confusion. And I'll have to confirm, but it was my understanding that the library subscription included older adults 55 and over. So we're going to be capturing a much broader audience. There's probably already a flyer that exists that we can just ask get set up for, and we could brand it with our Orange County information so that seniors recognize that this is available to Orange County older adults. But I think that we should definitely market it separately so that there's no confusion.
Yeah, and we do have time. So let's just, to us right now, these are just finding out for you, especially Erica, the information of how it's being used and how many people are using it and how well the senior centers, you know, pushed it.
Erica, can you ask Get Set Up if there's a way for them to just smoothly transition the people who are signed up through this onto the library program so it's seamless for them?
Yeah.
Okay. Because whenever there's something new, some people drop off, and we don't want that to happen. We want the seniors to keep using it.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Okay.
Okay, so any questions or comments on the questions for the senior centers that Cynthia has posed? Is there a motion to approve these questions to be for the senior center liaisons to request this information?
I'll second it.
Moved by Elizabeth, seconded by Cynthia. Desiree, please take a vote. Good thing there's only a few of us.
Elizabeth Busick?
Aye.
Elaine Genoway?
Aye.
Jean Hernandez?
Aye.
John Pointer?
Aye.
Dave Tetzlaff?
Aye.
Cynthia Thacker?
Aye.
Meredith Chalemi?
Aye.
That is majority.
Okay, thank you. Passes. So Cynthia, you now have the questions to now reach out to the senior center liaisons and have them reach out to the senior center directors. And you may want to then format a way for them to get that information back to you.
Well, that was a question. Do I send it to, who would I send it to have it sent out to everybody? Or?
Well, you have everyone's email.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I can send it out then.
Yeah, you can send it out. But then you're going to also want to give them a date by which they need to get back to you. And
well, I'll send you the email look, and you can edit it before I send it out.
Okay. All right. Thank you. On to item. Anything else on that item? Okay.
No,
on to item 11, CSL elections. John Pointer.
Thank you very much. CSL elections. There are 7 candidates for 7 vacancies.
Oh, that worked out nice.
It did, didn't it? So they are all incumbents. And what will occur at the May general meeting is that Elaine, if she so elects, may declare by acclamation that the 7 candidates for senior senator and senior assembly member are elected to the CSL for the 2022-26 term. If she wishes to simply hold an election to vote for the 7 people for 7 vacancies, then each member may speak for 2 minutes, conveying their qualifications, and then the body may again vote to elect those 7 members. Any questions? Do you have a preference, Elaine?
Well, if we're meeting via Zoom, my understanding is we have to do a roll call vote. So, but what we could do is to approve the slate as presented and have that all in one vote. So, but also you need to provide the names of those people.
What happens, Elaine, is that the applications that Erica forwarded to me are reviewed by our executive board. And in turn, a certificate of eligibility is then sent back to Erica. That is in the works right now. It will be to Erica by Wednesday or Thursday. So you'll have a full week. It's basically a slate that says these are the candidates for these positions. And that's what you can use to basically vote off of.
Yeah. So I think when we, even though we would do it as approving the slate and as one vote, still do need to name the people. So what I'm understanding you to say is we don't have those names just yet because we need that eligibility process to be completed. But when we do have it, then we'll provide the names and that those names could be put on the agenda because that'll be on the agenda as an action item. Erica?
The last point I would like to make is that upon election, the candidates are sworn in October. So their term of office doesn't end with the election. Their term of office ends in October when we have our annual session and they are sworn in. So it's just a seamless transition in the process there.
Okay, good.
So just to clarify, when I get that certification document back, because I sent all the applications up. So when I get the certification document back, does that go out to SCAC in advance of our general meeting so that they can take a look at who the names are? Or is their first notice that they're going to have to vote on something when we post the agenda?
It's handled differently in every PSA I've been to so far, Erica. You can mail them out if you would like.
Okay.
I don't have a problem with that at all.
Okay.
And do you envision a 2-minute summary of their eligibility, their resume, or are we just going to basically they've sent out the members are aware of them and we're just going to move to a vote or an approval as Elaine has pointed out?
Well, do we also need to, since they have to go through this eligibility process, do we also need to accept any nominations from the floor?
There are no nominations from the floor.
Okay, so these are basically, so unless anyone asks for any members to be separated out from the vote, I would think we, if there's only 7, there's 7 positions, I think we should just vote on the 7 as a slate. I don't think we need to go through having, you know, that's going to take another 20 minutes out of the meeting to have every member by the time they start and stop their 2 minutes. So I don't think we need to do that.
Especially, they're all incumbents, so they should be familiar to SCAC already.
Yeah, and I commend these people for being interested in applying.
And you're going to send out the resumes ahead of time, so we have a chance to read it, and that's all we need, I think.
Okay. All right. Any more discussion on how to handle the CSL election? John, do you have anything else you'd like, any other information or anything else you'd like to say?
Elaine, is Erica going to speak to the C4A convention from the 11th to the 13th of May?
I don't know, ask Erica.
Erica, are you going to speak to the C4A convention from May 11th to 13th?
There's a C4A convention from May 11th to the 13th. It's actually the annual conference. And after last year being all virtual, actually I think the last couple of years have been virtual, they're going back to an in-person conference. And so Orange County will be well represented. Myself, along with a couple of my managers and line staff, will be participating. There is a virtual option, but not all the sessions are going to be offered virtually. It'll be a select few. So the registration includes the full dollar amount to attend in person all 3 days of the conference, a partial registration if you wanted to go in person, but you only wanted to go to a day or two, and then a virtual registration rate for those that want to view those select sessions virtually. It is in Los Angeles, Glendale. So Los Angeles County has really taken a lead role in helping coordinate all the logistics, but yours truly is on the planning committee. So we have been securing sponsorships and speakers. There's going to be a keynote from Kim McCoy Wade, also Susan DeMoris from the California Department of Aging, and then also his name, but anyway, I can forward the schedule and the list of speakers and sponsors to all of SCAC so you have that information. And of course, this is not just for AAAs. If SCAC is interested in participating at any level, either in person or virtually, you're welcome to join us. I will be there.
How do we do that, Erica?
When I send you the link, it's registration and the schedule, agenda, so forth. Everything's all in one. So you can take a look at it. And then if you decide that you want to register, you can just do so directly via the link.
And is there a registration fee?
I believe it's $345 if you want to attend in person all three events, but then I believe it goes down to about $45 if you just want to do the virtual piece.
Historically, before COVID, PSA 22 sent up to five people to the C4A convention. I think Elizabeth went 1 year, I think I went 1 year. There were a number of people over the years that have gone. Is that something we're going to do this year, or are we still getting back in the swing of things with COVID and we're not prepared to do that this year?
I wasn't aware of that, but we could absolutely do that. I mean, we certainly have the budget for it. And if we have five SCAC members that would like to participate, I would need to know probably by this week because it has to go through our purchasing department and they're dealing with year-end deadlines. So if we're going to put the request through to cover the cost for five SCAC members, I'll need to know that this week.
I'll send you an email, Erica. I'm interested.
Okay.
Thank you very much. I think the first opportunity I've seen amongst the various senior organizations at the state level that an in-person meeting is actually being attempted. I have heard CDA reference State of the Union sort of meeting in August or September in person. So they're thinking about dipping their toe back into the in-person meeting. That'd be quite interesting if the surge is planned to occur at that time too. So maybe they'll get cold feet. And one last reference, thank you very much. Senior Rally Day, May 3rd. Quickly approaching. We're at over 400 registrants at this time, and I'm estimating we will hit over 500. I've never been right yet, but why change now? Might as well just go ahead and stick your neck out there and say what you think. So thank you very much, Elaine. Appreciate the opportunity to speak.
Okay. All right. Thanks. And thank you, for representing Orange County and for bringing us all this great information. So appreciate that. Okay, any announcements by SCAC members? I'll announce we have here in Laguna Niguel on Wednesday, May 4th, another session of our Savvy Senior Seminars. And this one is on contractor fraud. So a couple of years ago, I was at a senior conference and they had someone from the state of California Contractors Board speaking on how unscrupulous contractors will prey on seniors and not complete the work or do shoddy work, and how this fraud is committed, especially for seniors, hoping that either their memory times out or their life times out before anything ever reaches court. So we are having someone from the California State Contractors Board. He's a fraud investigator, and he will be the speaker. This is on Wednesday, May 4th at 5:30 at Sea Country Senior Community Center, which is on the corner of Moulton and Aliso Creek. So you are welcome to come. And you know what, contractor fraud doesn't just apply to seniors. So anyone can come. And that contractors are people who, you know, it's not that you're building a house. It may be you're having some work done on your patio or having some hardscape put in or you know, having your roof repaired, anything. It can be a small project. So please spread the word. It's very important that we stop this from happening. And if you have any questions, let me know. Any other announcements?
Question. You said Wednesday, May 4th at 5:30. Where is it again?
Sea Country Senior and Community Center in Laguna Niguel. It's our senior center, which is on the corner of Moulton and Aliso Creek Road.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other announcements? Okay. So our next meeting for the executive board is May 24th. Via Zoom at 9:30. So we all have our tasks to do as a result of this meeting. So we're all going to be busy. Be checking your emails for anything, any follow-ups from the meeting. And I thank you all for attending. So this meeting is now, Cynthia, are you raising your hand? Oh, she's saying goodbye. Okay, we are now adjourned. Bye.
Bye.